AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the tri-state area. That means New Jersey and Northern Delaware and all of southeastern PA. I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. If they are not within our single signal range, I ask that you ask them to tune in on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, today we're going to finish with a little bit of the Blihash plan. And I want to welcome our very distinguished panel members who consistently make great comments about all of the things that we discuss here. And they're well respected by our listeners. They include Larkin Connolly, the president of SCORE Philadelphia, and Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Rich has his own plan coming up soon. And also Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. But before we start anything, I want to mention that Larkin Connolly had a very special event happen in his life today. Tell us about that, Larkin.
Thank you, Michael. After long lectures about 7 months ago to my children, who I threatened to take out of my will if they did not start putting branches on my family tree, I am now a grandfather for the second time. In this, I swear to you, it's been in 6 months. I had nothing to do with it, but other than the idle threat. But this morning at 7:30, 9.1 ounce, 21 inch long, Charlie Henning, my granddaughter, was born, brought into the world in Jacksonville, Florida.
We congratulate you, Larkin. I mean, well, couldn't happen to a better man. You'll be down in Florida over there doing your thing and babysitting, and we'll get together and have a good time on the beach.
About 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week we were discussing several points from the Blihash plan, and I posted it on AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com, and I used it on my last Saturday program, and I got a lot of good responses from it. In fact, I was really pleased, and I want to mention that Councilman Mark Skula from Philadelphia's 1st Councilmatic District contacted me after reading the commentary and hearing the broadcast and said, "It was well thought out. Kindly continue this kind of effort." I also want to note that this Friday, Councilman Kenyatta Johnson is having a special event from 9 a.m. to 2 at the Navy Yard in Philadelphia, and it's going to be an infrastructure forum urging people to talk about what we can do to bring about jobs and job skills, putting back our infrastructure, which is also part of the Blihash plan. Today, I'm going to just briefly review what we did last week and go to the other points of the plan. But guys, thank you so much. I want to thank Rich and Larkin and Mark and Nick Gruch, who were in last week. We certainly had a very, very interesting group of responses from the people. And as we discussed, it would be good if our national leaders and our local leaders and our state leaders would start taking the suggestions from their people, because they're the people paying the taxes for their salary and also making the clock tick in each one of our states with their financial contributions, which we'll call taxes, which are taxes. But last week we discussed about getting all 50 governors together to talk about their state issues, maybe get the President of the United States and also all the leaders of Congress, and why not all the congressmen together to talk about what are we going to do to get jobs back in the USA. We also talked about how important it is to get long-term tax incentives for businesses that are operating here in the USA, and of course, help other businesses come back to our shores. We talked about the importance of the American people going out of their way to focus on items that are made in America, and maybe even placing some sections and stores with Made in America labels, where you'd go right to it and you'd see the people go out of their way to support the people that are making the items in the country, selling the items, shipping the items, advertising the items. We'd be able to support those with our dollars. But most important, and this was really enjoyed by the council people that I spoke with, we have to do something to press upon government officials to buy everything possible made in America with our tax dollars. That's something that they can lead the charge on with nobody else leading the way. They can do that on their own. And number four, school authorities really should go out of their way to let us know what skills are needed today, right now, to get those jobs to be 100% where they are. What job skills are going to be needed tomorrow, next month, next year? And let's get that technology moving, and let's get that known to our students in school. We're paying those dollars for education. We have to use them. And also, which was a very big, big thing last week, was eliminating all tax loopholes for corporations that are manufacturing overseas and then importing their products for sale here in America. We certainly can't continue to be the major sales point of the world's products while tens of millions, and I mean tens of millions, of Americans are out of a job. So those were the points that we got to last week. I want to ask each one of our panelists if they would make a comment on the things that I just brought up. Rich, I know that Rich, by the way, and I spoke the other day, and he sent me an email, and he's going to be working on the LOGIS plan, which will be very, very interesting. We'll have to add all these plans up and make sure our elected officials get them. Rich, what do you have to say to all this?
Thank you, Michael. Guys, good morning. Larkin, congratulations.
Morning. Thank you.
Very happy to hear. Florida is a good place to raise a child. nice and warm all year. You know, you start out like 50,000 in hock, but at least the weather's good. Congratulations. Having said that, Michael, one thing I want to not to put a damper on the plan, but there was a why'd we publish a report today, which I saw on Yahoo, but I'm sure it's on other major news outlets, regarding the new Treasury Secretary's trip to China. And essentially what the gist of the story was about was the continuing love story between the United States and China because of each other's dependence on one another. We talk about, you know, the dependence on our economy, the sustainability because of foreign-made goods, many of which come from China. And China, of course, in turn, heavily relies on us by purchasing our treasury notes, and also we're the biggest consumer of their goods. So we have to figure out a plan that can incorporate growth here with a global mindset, and that's frankly going to be a challenge. So we need to monitor how our leaders are responding to that challenge.
You're right, Rich. It is going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge we have to take, and it's unfortunately a challenge that we should never have to be taking. We should have never allowed one job, let alone tens of millions of jobs, to exit the United States. It's a total, you know, bad relationship between the American people and elected officials. It's because the American people did not speak up for years, and they need outlets like this to start stirring them up. I was on a radio program with Eric Neduchin and Aaron Matlock the other day, and we were discussing the plan on there, on the generation gap. And I have to tell you, people need to hear this. More and more, every radio outlet that I have access to is promoting the plan and all of the ideas that we're discussing on this show. But most importantly, the American people, the light bulb is going up. in their head and saying, well, wait a minute, my son is now unemployed, I'm unemployed, my daughter's unemployed, my neighbor's unemployed. How did this happen to us? That is a question that should have been answered 15 years ago. Now we're rushing over, we're dancing, we're waltzing, we're tangoing with China and everybody else who already has our industries. We want those industries back in America.
Well, Michael, the relationship with China is unlike any other in the world, any other nation, I should say, that we have in the world, for one primary reason. If you look at the largest loaner to our country in terms of lending funds, it is not China, it is Japan. However, when you combine the loaning as well as the consumption of goods, China is, by all estimates, far and away the most influential country in our economy. And with our economy being approximately 70% consumer spending, as we've stated on the show before, where do the majority of those goods come from? They come from overseas.
Right.
So our economy has sustained, not solely on, but primarily it has been sustained by goods coming from outside of our borders. So now the challenge is going to be how to remain relevant globally while looking to bring jobs, manufacturing back. All of the outsourcing of jobs, labor, manufacturing was not something that occurred overnight.
Absolutely not.
It has actually been going on for decades.
Rich, I want to say this to you. In my conversation with one of the elected officials from Bucks County last week, they said, well, I had so-and-so listening to you, the program on Wednesday, and one of the things that you spoke about is mandate workforce development programs. They said, you know, believe it or not, we have lost so many of our job skill programs in the schools. It's like a glorified babysitting service now. Those shops and all have been cut back, which is totally insane. How are we going to motivate young people to be skilled workers, whether it's on the production line or the weak workforce and development line, or whether it's research and development, whatever? How are we going to motivate the people if we don't have some example for them to see?
One thing that has to be realized here is that cheap labor around the world has a direct correlation with decreased incomes and salaries here, because companies can, which at one time perhaps would have paid an individual $50,000 or $60,000 just for XYZ job, whatever it may be, now it can hire two or three people at that income. And given that our economy, while our unemployment has been very slightly decreasing quarter to quarter, the fact is there are still a lot of people not working and or underemployed. See, the underemployment number is another number that is oftentimes ignored in the mainstream media, in my opinion. Those are the people who are earning basically minimum wage, right, who probably aren't making enough. So cheap labor really does drive down salaries here in the United States.
And, you know, Rich, there's also a sector in the United States of people who have been on unemployment so long, and everything's
years
expired, and they're really not even in the count. So when we say 7.5% unemployment, it's a little bit higher than that. I suggest that the unemployment rate in Philadelphia is probably somewhere between 20% and 25%.
It's a big number, and yes,
yeah,
that's a problem, because that 7% does not include the long term unemployed, because that only includes people who are actually receiving unemployment checks. All the other people are now off the rolls, so the government acts as though they don't exist on the rolls. And that's the thing. What you're absolutely right, Rich. We've depended on other countries. That is why I'm begging people everywhere I go, every flyer I give out, every radio program I go on, I beg people to look for the American-made label, because that is one thing they can do. They can take the money out of their pocket and buy something made in America to at least keep our people on the job and not worry about some foreign product being, on their house. We have got to do it. And Mark, you've said it 1,000 times.
Yes,
America's economy can change. Go ahead. You take it.
Well, I wanted to say, congratulations, Larkin, your increased family.
Thank you.
We have a...
By the way, I hate to interrupt you, but my son-in-law, Mr. Henning, is from Buffalo.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, he's a Buffalo guy.
I know a couple Hennings, so we'll have to talk about that.
Okay, offline. Yeah, great.
You know, we've got a nice snowfall, about 8 to 10 inches for the first day of spring in Buffalo, so really hot up here right now, guys. but I'd like to tell you, our buses started coming to the store, and we had two this week, one from Erie, PA, and one from Rochester. And yesterday's bus was the Traveling Nuns, so very interesting. We were on top behavior. But one of the couples were Vietnamese, and they whispered something to me in the beginning, and I went up to him later, and he said, And what he had said was, I was the enemy, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I talked to him later. He goes, I moved here in 1975. I was from South Vietnam. And later, when he traveled the store for the hour and he came up to me, he goes, you know, thank you for doing this. I said, do you like that? He goes, well, when I moved to this country in 1976, I told my wife, never buy nothing from Vietnam or anywhere else. You have to support the country you live in. And I think we touched on that when Larkin last week when you mentioned Italy. And it was so neat to see this couple. Now they're up late 60s. For him to believe so much in buying American and really appreciate my story. I love the bus people because they all thank me. And they really, really, if you guys could see the expressions and the appreciation of my store when the bus and the tour people come from all over the area. So, you know, you hit it right on the head, Mike. You know, we've got to do this. Skilled workers right now, I'm looking for welders again, and you cannot find them. It amazes me how the pool of skilled workers is depleted.
And somewhere by both parties, but this isn't all Democrats or all Republicans.
No.
It's the message that has come out of Washington. Everybody can get an MBA. Everybody can become a doctor of economics. Everybody can become a gynecologist. Come on, guys. We've really turned our back on skilled workers and educating those skilled workers.
Well, see, this is where another part of our plan is. What are the administrators in our schools doing to make sure that our kids know where they're going? I talked to some counselors, and they say, "Well, that's we're almost the babysitting service for these young people today." I said, "Well, then the whole dollar on education is being wasted because the teacher doesn't have the ability to instruct kids what is needed in the industries. You're worrying about somebody having romances and this and that instead of guiding them in their future if they're going to be going to college or maybe there's some shop or some international arts or something that they could be doing, industrial arts. There's all these possibilities that you can use right here in the USA, and yet those people are not doing that. It's because the top administrators in the schools are not pushing it.
Absolutely, and I stand for that, Mike, and we're trying to make that change. Unfortunately, it's not happening quick enough because, you know, I need workers today, and we've got to just continue to push that. The parents got to help out and make it okay for their children to learn other skills and make it okay to work with your hands. And again, anybody I meet from any country in my store that visiting or lives here now, you know, they all work with their hands. They all believe in supporting their country, and they all believe in skilled work. So there's nothing wrong with it. We've got to make sure our guidance counselors and schools make that aware to our children at a younger age.
Absolutely right. Rich, what do you say about the schools? You understand this situation more than anybody.
Well, I am, you know, I think all of us here share a, again, I don't mean to speak for the other guests, Michael, or for yourself, but, you know, guys, I think we're pro-education panel. My perspective on schooling over the years has been that for every, you know, if you look at sort of average school districts or what the average monies go to, I mean, every dollar spent, you probably see maybe a quarter of that dollar go into the actual classroom. So when our monies are all tied up in, you know, all the salaries and fringe benefits and all of that stuff that, you know, certainly people need to get paid for what they do. I'm not saying otherwise. We have to be able to compete in a global economy. Global economy competitiveness is dependent upon, in large part, adaptability. when we need jobs, when we need certain, Mark, you need certain skilled workers, well, we should be able to respond quickly to that and conduct the appropriate training, which will then lead to qualified candidates for your job. Because you might have one need, and you might have a couple of qualified candidates. And as the business owner, you get to choose the person you think is most qualified.
I don't understand why the school counselors are not hunting down the industry leaders to say, what are you going to be doing in the next 2 months, 6 months, 2 years?
Well, Michael, let me ask you something. How many welders have graduated from Harvard?
Hold on, gents. We'll be right back. And we're going to finish up with this school. I know Larkin has something to add to this.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Steam My Carpets, and they serve commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzechinski at Steam My Carpets at 1-877-778-3263 or visit them on the internet at steammycarpets.com. And also being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club, located at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807.
The office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, Contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zin of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zin speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And if you know of someone that would enjoy tuning in and they live in our broadcast area, go to the phone now and invite them to tune in to 860 AM radio, or they can listen anytime on the internet 24 hours a day by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, I'm here with Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. I'm Michael Blihash, your host, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word about all of our efforts and also about the Blihash plan. And it cracked me up because each and every one of the radio programs that spoke about it this week, as I listened to rebroadcasts on the internet, the Blihash name was perfectly said there. So that name looks tough when you look at it, but when you say it, it's perfect. Talking about education and skilled workers, I know, Mark, you've been through it up there. What would you advise that I could advise to these people in our Eastern Pennsylvania district here of Pennsylvania? What should they do to get people back into the skilled programs?
Number one, they've got to get an understanding of the problem that exists for us to find, business owners and businesses that are into, the skilled work and skilled work needs. They need to have an understanding of what they need. So business leaders and school leaders and community leaders have to get together and have an understanding of what's needed, then develop a plan. And possibly, I like tours of businesses. I suggest, let kids, students at 6th, 7th, 8th grade levels, not too late, not their senior year, younger, earlier in school, get a feel what's out there, what's available, what do we mean by skilled workers. There's a lot of technology in skilled workers. But get them to have an understanding, develop a program, tours start with, get them interested. A lot more, school-to-work relationships I do with BOCES here or our trade schools where we get the students in for maybe 5 weeks. They get a feel of what they're doing. They come for 5 days a week for 4 or 5 weeks. And that works too. And remember, like if you picked welding, there's a lot more in welding. You could start with the hands-on welding. But then I'm a CWI. There's welding engineers. There's different metal industries you can go into. There's so much to the industry. So I think we have to expose our students earlier. But the community, the business leaders, and the schools have to get together to make sure that it's followed up on.
You know, Mark, as you were saying that, I said to myself, can you write a few of your facts down? I would love to propose that, and I'd love to place it up on the internet site as the Andel plan to get people, seriously, to get people involved in taking tours of schools, asking questions about what the counselors are doing, to get boys and girls interested in some career fair, some career link that they're going to have for the rest of their life. People need to know that they'll be paid well no matter what industry they go into.
And do the schools and students know there's such a shortage right now? The students need to know at a younger age, and so they can plan on going into a career that involves skilled work.
You know, what you just said about bringing the boys and girls into your place of work to show them what a day is in your office there or in your welding facility, that is worth $1 million.
Yeah, because I see their faces when I give these students tours. I did a program with our local school, and we gave a half credit for high school students. But when you see their faces, when they see welding or electrical work or engineering or CAD drawing or social media, somebody doing that, and it's a young person in my business, it's needed. It opens their eyes. It lights their light bulb, and they didn't have a clue. And I always know a 5-minute tour can change even my friends from knowing what I do. So.
And I really agree that that's a start on the education side. I don't think there's any question. But there's got to be the infrastructure. We're all talking about the amount of manufacturing that's gone offshore now. You know, I'm going to study 4 or 5 years, go through an apprenticeship to be a welder, and come out onto the street, and there are no welding jobs. So, you know, it's going to take a multi-level plan to really correct this. And you talk about education. Here's the Connolly plan, and I was telling Henry, our crackerjack engineer, a little earlier, and of course the Connolly plan has to have liquor in it. Sorry about that.
Very important.
The Pennsylvania is about to, or they're trying to. Our current governor is trying to get out of the liquor business, and I don't think the state should be in the liquor business anyway on a retail level. I just flat don't. And that's me personally speaking, not the score in me. But at any rate, if they turn these stores over, and this is coming to a vote very soon, what are they going to do with those stores? Well, if they just flat turn around and put them out to bid, it's going to be the people on the street with the most money that are going to get these stores. And it's going to be, there's really not a repair involved there. If they get a program where they take these stores and give a significant percentage of these stores to underprivileged individuals and put them through an education process of how to run a store at retail, give them a SCORE counselor or an SBDC counselor or a WBEC counselor, give them a counselor of some sort, let them hire the people who are currently in that store at the wage that they're making now, attrition will get everything back in order. As you've said, Michael, a million times, and I agree, we sell liquor for a little too much money in the state of Pennsylvania. Anyway, that's why everybody goes to Delaware, everybody goes to Maryland, everybody goes to Jersey. They go anywhere but Pennsylvania to buy their liquor. And, you know, there's a positive side for the consumer on that also. But just turning these liquor stores over is not a great idea. Taking a significant percentage of them and putting them on the street and giving them to people who need that opportunity, educating those people and making great retailers out of them.
Right. Representative John Taylor has been proposing an alternate plan, which many people have agreed with, and I believe that's going to be coming up for a vote tomorrow to see if they're going to move to the next step. It's true, and a new plan may bring about many more jobs because there'll be extended hours and things like that. There's a lot of opportunities with this, and the state should not be in the liquor business.
It really, certainly they should control liquor it should be a controlled substance.
As it is in every other state. Right,
on a wholesale level.
Right.
But, and on a super wholesale level. But as it comes to selling the liquor retail, it really shouldn't be something that the state's doing, I don't think.
What else would you add to the liquor end of it there, Rich?
Well, I mean, you know, it's all drink and be merry, right? So, I mean, you're losing, you know, look, liquor store business, it's about as local a kind of business as it gets, right, guys?
That's absolutely. So, by brand, you know, it's local.
Yeah. I mean, it's about as local a type of business as you can. So, again, what happened? Other states in that particular industry have created incentives for consumers to go elsewhere. So, the state has to now think about, okay, well, if we're losing here, then we're probably losing elsewhere. So how do we attract them back? And again, there are a lot of challenges in front of the elected officials, but they fought really hard to get that job, right? So we need to hold them accountable.
And it's good to see this is one opportunity to bring about independent jobs in the state running, you know, the liquor stores and the beer and all that. Everybody's trying to work together so that no one gets hurt. And that's exactly what I'm trying to promote within every area, whether we're doing advertising or welding or clothing manufacturing. People have to get together and talk about what are we going to do to help get jobs back here in our communities. Mark, If you would do that, take a little time and write down some of your thoughts, because many people listen to some of the remarks made on here and remember those remarks by what you said, like about make sure that the American people can turn the economy around at their own buying power through what they buy and how they buy it. That has stuck in the minds of many people. And Larkin wants to add something.
Yeah, and I say, you know, we really need to be real careful here. There's a lot of things that have to be changed, but it's not all bleak out there right now. It really isn't. Housing starts are up. The unemployment rate is falling, albeit very, very slowly, but it is falling. Consumer balance sheets are in better shape now than they were certainly a year ago. And there's every indication that every consumer is out there repairing his or her balance sheet and getting it back in order, and that's absolutely necessary. And also, you know, there's this two-lane street up in lower Manhattan called Wall Street, and they happen to be at the highest levels that they've ever been to in history. So it's not all bleak, but education, the real foundation has got to be repaired. There's no question. Education, you know, come on. In the city of Philadelphia, and we all recognize we have a problem, and we've got to come up with an answer, but when your graduation rate's 43%.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
You got a problem.
What are we really paying for is the bottom line. We're putting out all this money, and the boys and girls are not graduating. Possibly if we could restore those industrial art shops, we may be able to keep more of those kids in school and also have them come out of school with a skill that they will be able to use immediately. What do you say to that, Mark?
Well, I agree. You know, a lot of students I get through, and I've got my nephews that are between 22 and 25 working for me. And Daniel, yesterday, VP of the Made in America store, you know, he's outstanding, had 5 years in college. But a lot of his friends, he just mentioned yesterday, a lot of his friends still don't have jobs. You know, he's 1 out of 10, and he was lucky I formed the Made in America store, so it's helped him a lot. But, you know, he always brings up to me that a lot of times he was told from a young age that he was kind of misled, you know, that a welder, plumber, somebody who works with their hand, that's no good, don't even look over there, let's do this, this, and this. And when you get out, there's not, you know, for instance, teaching jobs, you know, a lot of friends went for teaching jobs, but there are none in New York available right now, but they never told them that you may have to move out of state, you may have to go out of the country. There wasn't jobs available, so a lot of his friends thought they were misled. But I, you know, like I said, Mike, with tours and, you know, maybe even tie the parents in these tours at a younger age of businesses and what, maybe they don't have an understanding. What do we mean by skilled work today? There's a lot of technology in that work. So, you know, again, just a total understanding. And I think you're touching, everybody here agrees. I think we're all on the same page. We just got to get it going quick.
And, you know, Mark, to be a machine operator, you better A, understand computers.
Right.
And you better B, have an advanced knowledge of mathematics.
And that's what I mean, Larkin.
They both apply.
I don't think the parents and, you know, a lot of people realize what's involved now with CNCs and welding and the robot welding. And there's so much more than years ago, just a chip and hammer and a, you know, stick welding.
You know, Mark, as you're saying that, could you talk to your nephew and ask him his experience with his school counselor? How did that counselor guide him along over the 4 years that he was in high school? I'd be very interested to know what was the progress, year, you know, the entrance to the school, mid-school, and near graduation.
You know, we could get him on next week, you know, and because he has an interesting story with that.
That'd be great. That would be wonderful.
I'd love that.
Guys, I have to say thank you to the many sponsors that allow us to continue our broadcast. So we have to pause for the next minute and a half to acknowledge their participation. We'll be back very shortly. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish. The office of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the National Office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. I'm Michael Blihash, and I'm here with Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. Mark, I'm asking that you follow through on speaking with your nephew, bringing him on the program, because he can give us some ideas as to what's really been happening in the school system and give us an idea to add to the Mark Andel plan that I would love to promote, because you're in the system. You know exactly what's happening. Now, Rich, I want to ask you something. This is a man who's extremely well read. I would like to ask.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, what can we do to get after our national leaders to propose some tax incentives that'll help the businesses here in the USA? I think they need some encouragement. Maybe they need the LOGIS plan for ending tax loopholes and building tax incentives. What do we have to do? This is another thing that I pushed on the Blihash plan, but I need to hear from Rich.
Well, my challenge, Michael, which I'll flesh out for you, is going to, the crux of it is going to be about more choices in our elections, because I believe that more choices can result in better candidates. So that's what, as a preview, is what the challenge is really about. I'll give you just one very specific example, Michael. You know, in Hong Kong, there's a corporate tax rate of a little over 16%.
Yeah, Lord.
Here in the U.S., it's close. It's a little over 39. So I flunked everything past arithmetic, but I know that 16 to 39 is that's significant, right? I mean, that's a whatever that is. 20 or so percent difference. The tax loophole that I think you're referring to is the that companies that are based here that continue to sell goods here but go overseas can write off their moving expenses.
And not only that, but they take all of their expenses for making the products that they're sending here, and they use the tax standards of overseas. Now, that's really not justifiable. My whole argument has been from day one, and Henry Chaplinsky brought this up to me a few months ago, and I agree. If every corporation in America had to at least make 50% of their products here on the shores of the USA, that's fine if they move some of their stuff overseas. But what's sold in America has to be made in America at least 50%.
And I don't, and I just don't see the remedy being more legislation, more rules, more laws. You know, we've got to dig down in the gut and into the cranium here and figure out what the answer is to making this a better, more thriving economy. And I've said this a million times, no economy can sustain itself without a good manufacturing base, and we don't have that anymore.
No.
And we've got to fix that. We cannot be the number one consumer in the world and the number one importer in the world. It just doesn't add up. It won't support itself.
A good example of that is Philadelphia. They did a report, and Councilman Bobby Heenan is now involved with this manufacturing returning to Philadelphia program. At one time in the city itself, just in the city, we had over 400,000 manufacturing jobs. Today, we have 23,600. How is that possible in a city with 1.5 million people?
Mike, I think we all agree that you can't just buy American, you have to manufacture American.
Yep.
I manufacture 40 different products at General Welding that are sold in the Made in America store, and we're doing well at them. You know, fire rings, grills, three-point hitch, post-pounders, farm implements. We're going to a hardware retail show in Vegas the first week of May, which now has, first time we're going to be there, but the first time they have a Made in America section. Since the movement is doing well, since, Mike, you made the movement doing well, and what we talk about every week is working, that's proof, because this large convention center now has a Made in America area. Of course, when we called them, they said, you do what? You have how many? I said 4,000 products under one roof made in America. So they definitely wanted us there. Now we're going to have a 10 by 10 booth, but we're going to take 10 of our General Welding manufactured products, because I support 350 American manufacturers, and one manufacturer out of them that I love is mine, General Welding. So we're going to promote our distribution center and our products so it can be done. And again, people are lazy. I challenge you manufacturers, we still need that toaster, Larkin. I talk about that toaster a couple times a week.
Right.
I'm still waiting for it.
Why can't we have some manufacturer adjust today and start making one product? Fisher Price is right in East Aurora, 5 minutes from me, and they don't make one toy in this country.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I happen to have babysat for my 5-month-old child every Monday and Wednesday, every other week. It's kind of hysterical to watch me do that, but whatever. And she has, of course, as the number one child in that family, a plethora of toys, a lot of them from Fisher-Price, and they are complex. I mean, you turn the page and somebody starts reading you a story with music in the background. I mean, it's not the type of thing that we had when we grew up. And that, so these are chips. These are microchips. These are complex items that, and we're still the smartest people in the world. Maybe not smart isn't the right word. We're still the most inventive. We still have 18 of the top 20 universities in the world for turning out technology and inventions are still in this country. So
we just want them engineers that use our schools to stay here.
Exactly.
I have Channelcraft toys in our store, which 80% are made in this country. They're educational. They're great toys, great quality. So it can be done. Again, you know, I'm a perfect example with my store of what can be done. And I always laugh because it's working. You know, it's something so simple, buying and building here. And people just, they're looking for a plan to save the country still. It's buy and build American products.
America's businesses have to renew the tradition of innovation. That's the whole thing. We have to. The fire went out. It's time for us to strike the match and relight the fire and get our young people back into the system. One of the things that I mentioned on my plan was, what kind of a group can we do, like an AmeriCorps group program for young people across the USA, to maybe do something in return for the cities and the states, maybe in our libraries and our recreation centers, and help our seniors in return for some college tuition, you know, some job training credits. So when they have a resume, they can say, I've been part of the Job Corps and I was doing this, or I was getting job training credits for that. I mean, we got to do something. Our elected officials are only worried about how much more money they're going to get and not how much they're going to do for the American people so they can continue to get money for America.
And that solution is not in Washington, D.C. That solution's in the neighborhoods all over this country, and in the households and with the families and with the boards of education and all of the local politicians. It's a commitment, as Rich Loggia says, locally. It's a commitment from the governor down, certainly not coming out of Washington, D.C.
And Rich is probably rolling his eyes because he just said it again. We got to vote the right people in.
Yeah,
Rich,
but
I'm with
that part. That's going to be part of the challenge. Part of the challenge is going to be, I believe, and I'm going to continue to say it and bang this drum, the more choices, the better the type of candidates we can attract. Of course, there are other parts of this term limit, some other things that we've talked about. Larkin, I do believe you're right when we talk about, is more legislation the thing that is going to help? I believe it's probably not going to. But having said that, we need legislators who make our economic sustainability a top priority. Not a, we'll get back to it after the break. Not a, you know, what's going on in the Middle East? Is there another, you know, is there another war we're going to gear up for? This is the thing. Because for every dollar, every moment of time spent focused elsewhere in the world is a dollar and a moment of time that's not spent here. And everybody has a finite inventory of time. Elected officials' time is to be devoted entirely to what goes on to the best interest of America, not anywhere else.
And there's a, you know, there's a states' rights argument there, and it's probably blatantly obvious that I'm a states' rightser. I mean, the closer that tax dollar gets to the curb that it came from, on the main street that it came from, the better spent it is. I can't appreciate the fact that 436 or 56, however many congressmen there are down there making decisions about Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Right.
I don't get it. Why don't we strengthen the state of Pennsylvania? Why don't we strengthen Florida and New York, make them stronger states, get good governors and people that have proactively want to advance the economy in our state? California has announced that it will become, in the next 3 years, the number one green economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a state, the state of California. So,
and Mark, and don't forget also with California is the eighth largest economy in the world.
Exactly.
The state of California. There are only seven nations, countries out of 200 in the world with bigger economies than California.
And
so we all have things that we can learn from each other for the benefit of for the good of the nation. But my question to Congress as a whole is, what exactly do you prioritize your time with? And I think we'd be very unhappy when we would see, what all of those times are devoted to. I'm not saying that they're never devoted to the interests of America. I'm saying that there are many things that are not, for, in my opinion, for the good of us, that compete for their time and are allowed to make it to the table. And
well,
that is where more choices can potentially help us as a nation. But until we begin to feel that way as a nation collectively, we're going to keep voting in guys and gals that are basically the same thing election to election.
Mm-hmm. Right. You said one of the words that I think is a buzzword, and I think it's one that we ought to pay attention to, and that's self-interest. I mean, there are so many special interests in this country. There are congressmen down there that don't vote without a special interest consideration, and that's ridiculous.
And, you know, Mark said it right earlier. We have got to support the country we live in first. That's very important, because we, the American people, really have the power to change America's economy by buying more American, going to our local stores, supporting the people who are struggling along to keep America's economy alive. We have to get after the teachers and the school administrators, these guys that are making $300,000 and $400,000, to bring their proposals to the people, not just do them behind closed doors and then say this is what it's all about. The fact that they took writing and all out of the schools is ridiculous. I mean,
just for ourselves, Mike, for our children. And I think that's who we got to think about. You know, it's like cancer. If you don't have it, you still have to think about it and care. A lot of these people live that elite life, and they have to get back. And we always said they don't get it. They don't know what paycheck to paycheck living is all about, and they have to have that understanding. And, again, Rich said we've got to vote these type of people in that have the heart, that do love our country.
You know, you just said something. Put that on the Andel plan about people knowing what it costs for different products. Let them know what their parents are helping them with, not just to be in this la-la land of life where daddy or mommy will pay for it and this and that. But let them know what's going on, what it costs for all the conveniences of life. Those things don't happen, and they don't come about free. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, and Rich, you're up first next week, and I'm hoping that you're going to stay on that plan. Dr. Andel, please get on your plan. Larkin Connolly is going to do his plan, and he has something you would like to add?
I just wanted to officially, for one time, thank everybody for their kind wishes. I want to welcome Charlie Henning into the world. I want you to know that she's going to be hitting a golf ball 250 yards in 15 years. She is going to be the first LPGA tour player at the age of 19 with a master's degree. So.
And I want everything that she wears and everything that she uses to play those golf games made here in the USA.
I'll assure you.
I've got a onesie for you, Larkin, that you'll love. Made in America onesie. We'll get you one of them.
Okay, good deal. Rich,
thank you guys.
Larkin, and Mark, thank you so much for being part of our broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for supporting our sponsors. Make sure you let them know that you hear about them right here on the Polish American Radio program and American Workers Radio. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's program anytime by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until Saturday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Do widzenia.